welcome to episode 3 of On Second Thought with Mike and Matt. And I was realizing, Matt, as I was driving home from work, yes, I had to go into work today, which is a sore subject of mine. But anyways, if we have new listeners, I don't know if we've done a good job of saying who's Matt and who's Mike. I think we've maybe assumed that just only the regulars are listening, and they already know who Mike is and who Matt is. So will the real Matt say hello?
Hello. Are you getting, you know, emails and threats or something? You want to just make sure that, you know, I'm the one in Boston.
Sure. Right. You sound like it. via Cincinnati.
Yes.
That thick Midwestern accent. Not as bad as Kentucky, though. That's a hell of an accent.
It's amazing. Places, you know, 15 minutes away, and it's like a whole other world.
But they still love all those same food that you like.
Yeah, for the most part. Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
So that is Matt. I am Mike. For those who maybe don't know who we are, we used to host some other shows, Bad Fodder Figures, 40 Cast, Gamers in Beta, etc., etc. But we're back here, our third episode of this show, which is just, you know, the both of us hanging out and, so to speak, letting it rip. Not too much pre-planning. We got some things we tend to talk about before we just jump in, but it's not as it's not as pre-planned as past shows. We just try to keep it casual. Before we get too far into things, Matt, we did have a nice visit from our buddy Bricko this week as we were playing the Division II, and he had some lofty praise for us, gave us some nice props, showed us, as the kids say, they gave us our flowers. So it was good to hear from Bricko. Shout out to him. And he was very complimentary of the show so far and wanted to thank us for dusting off the podcast chops and getting back at it. So here we are.
Yeah, it was nice talking to him the other night. We had a good time playing games and talking to him. He was a third wheel is not the right way to say it, but he was sitting there. We were playing Division II. And he asked me to stream through Discord, and he was watching in the background and giving us some help here and there. And we had some great conversations, great talk with him. It was a good time Saturday night.
So on a scale of 1 to 10, how sweaty were the palms when you had someone watching you?
Got a little sweaty, dude.
Got a little nervous.
Yeah, a little. You know, and I was like, man. Oh, hey, look there. You know, you'd start to say something. Oh, what? Oh, and kind of stop. And, yeah. No, I said, go ahead. Tell me what I'm doing wrong.
It was good for hearing from him, and it he was a great assist on many things, and has pointed out that I need a handler in life, Matt. But I need a handler, and I have come to the realization that I need an in-person handler. Now, you and Bricko and others are great, but no one is like, I can't ring the bell and someone is just here. You know what I mean? I only can ring, you know, the text bell or the Discord bell, and then eventually I get a reply back. I need someone. I'm not saying at my beck and call, but I need a local handler because, you know, Bricko said that he helps out his local mechanic with PC issues. And, you know, I've been having some PC issues, which you're going to get to here in a minute, but it was very nice. You know, I got this new fancy, mountain keyboard, and I said, well, it's taking me out of my, out of the mood, you know, the immersion, because it's like got all sorts of, you know, lights, you know, the RGB lights just going crazy. And I was like, you know, I'm here. I'm supposed to be in this dire straits world of the Division II. And I got all these lights popping off like I'm at a discotheque. And he quickly gave me the lowdown on how to not download the software, but use some function keys. And then also this keyboard it doesn't have a function row. And I was like, you know, Brooke, I'm a world-class game player over here. My gameplay needs to be captured. I need to capture my screenshots, and on my other keyboard I press F12 and boom, it's done. And right, I said Bricko, you know, I need to know how to take a screenshot when there's no function row. And, you know, he's like 10 steps ahead of me, and he's like looking at the keyboard and going, yep, no function keys. But he says the equal sign is in the same spot on a normal where the F12 would be. He goes, why don't you just hit function equal sign?
There it was.
There it was. It was like, light dawns on Pearl Harbor. You know, it was just fucking.
Yeah. So, he was 10 steps ahead of us Saturday night. You know, it's like he anticipated things we were going to ask him. Because he's right there hot with the Google and knowing what to do and what we needed.
Yeah, he's a useful guy. So I need to, you know, it's a void in my life that I don't have local companionship. Not companionship like, you know, like a spouse, but local, you know, a bro to come over and just say, hey, I got this going on. You know, hey, the grass is looking a little like, you know, long. I got some beer here. Why don't you go to...
I need to kick. You know, Mike, I miss my cul-de-sac neighbor.
Yep.
And that's what you're looking for, is that right there.
Yes. Okay. That's I couldn't
something like that.
I couldn't sell the wife moving to the cul-de-sac in Ohio. I tried, but there was no dice. Like, I tried my best. I gave her my best sales pitch, Matt, and it just didn't work out. But I can envision giving you a six pack of hams and saying, here's the zero turn. And just like being like dangling like a carrot, like, here, this six pack's for you when you're done.
Yeah. I'd be all over. I'd be all over, dude. You'd be like the freaking Tom Sawyer of Cincinnati, you know? Just, oh man, I got this great zero turn. It's great to ride. You should try and cut grass with it. It's great. It's great. Hell yeah. Let me give it a try.
I know the yard exactly that it needs to cut. Come on over.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I could see that.
Maybe I need to go to like Craigslist and put. No, maybe not.
No, you're thinking something else there, boss. Yeah. No.
It was good to get. It was good to get some help from him. But let's get to the PC stuff here. Last episode, I said I had some PC problems, and they slowly have been ironed out, and it's rather embarrassing, but I don't feel too much blame on my side. So the issue of the screen flickering to black was due to a bad HDMI cable. And now I feel like everybody is just rolling their eyes laughing right now when they hear that. However, I just didn't pick like an HDMI cable out of like my storage bin where I have all these cables and say, yep, this will do. I bought a brand new HDMI 8K cable for this new PC. The brand is the same brand that you and I have for the Steam Deck dock, right? And I have other products from, I have other, these other HDMI cables for my other, you know, for the consoles, and I've never had an issue. In fact, the other PC connected to this television is using that same brand and cable, and I've never had flickering. So did I just get a bad cable? I guess that's possible. However, in my astute analysis, Matt.
This is important.
This is. The case that I have where the GPU on the back of the case where the GPU inputs are, the case itself has a little bit of a bevel. And the two HDMI cables that I were trying, which is one is the JSOC and the other was a brand new Microsoft HDMI 2.1 that comes with an Xbox. On hindsight, they weren't making a snug connection into the GPU. So I ordered a third kind just out of panic. I didn't know that it would fit better. But immediately when I put this cable in, I felt that like tactile feel, that clunk sound.
That
satisfying connection. Mm-hmm. And I kind of instinctively knew that I was all set from there. But it took me three cables. And, you know, it's my own fault because I wanted this case and I like the look of the case. But how do I know to look at the back of it and go, is this going to cause me some issues? Yeah, so it's a really weird, peculiar issue. So, I've tested it out thoroughly, and I'm not getting the black flickering anymore.
Well, you know what's wild is, someone correct me if I'm wrong, because more than half the time I am. But, you know, like digital output like that, like HDMI, which is digital. I thought normally digital meant it's on or off. Okay, it's going to work or it's not. So as opposed to analog, you know, you think analog, you think antennas and shit where you're trying to tune in channel 19 on your UHF or whatever, and you can get a fuzzy picture or whatever, and but it still works. So that's why I'm kind of surprised that an issue like that would have come up with you and your cable where it wasn't a solid connection.
Yeah, so I talked to the owner. So I bought this from Alexander PC, and I talked to the owner for about 45 minutes because I was really frustrated. And he says, I talked to him just a little bit after I tried this third cable, and I was like, hey, I've been trying this for about 4 hours now, and I haven't got any of the flickering. Let me try it out for about a week or so, and I'll get back to you. And he said he had like four things that could have been the issue. And one of those was the cable. And he said there could have been a grounding. He was saying a grounding issue with one of the cables that I could have had was grounding itself on the case. Now, I'm just parroting words that he's telling me. I don't know the ins and outs of like what that technically means, but it sounds like it's not getting a full connection. Something metal is grounding itself to the case, right? Is that somewhat?
Sure, I don't know. Hell, he might have just feeding you a line of whatever.
Yeah. The only other issues I'm facing with the PC now is some Explorer.exe errors, and that could be my own fault because I'm not a big fan of Windows 11, Matt. I know you like Windows 11, or at least you're tolerable to Windows 11. I am not.
It works for me. It works.
Yeah, it's not as nice as Windows 10. I prefer 10. I know Windows 11 does some other things better in the background. But for me, I don't know. Anyways, Teams and all this OneDrive stuff, I uninstalled instead of like just turning them off. And I'm not sure if that's been the cause of these Explorer.exe errors I'm getting. I'm hoping at some point they'll self-heal themselves. They don't interfere with anything I'm doing. Like they only come up when I power the machine down. At no other time am I getting these errors. So it's a minimal nuisance right now. And I'm hoping maybe when I do like a Windows update or something like that, they'll just eventually heal themselves over time.
That's a possibility. Yeah. Something come up.
So I'm on a good path with the PC. You know, I don't feel like I cheaped out. You know, we had a conversation earlier in the week, like you only get what you pay for. And if you go cheap, you know, sometimes, you know, but actually, those JSOX HDMIs that I bought were more expensive than the Ugreen. That's the brand I eventually went with. It's called Ugreen, the letter U and then the word green. I have some of their other cables that I really like as well. So I just tried a different brand and it works. So anybody else have similar issues? Keep trying different cables. And funny enough, when I went to Reddit, you know, some people have differing opinions of Reddit, but you will always find the answer at Reddit. And sure enough, I found a thread on there while I was triaging this stuff, and someone said my TV and the symptoms, just keep trying different cables. And I was like, nah, come on, that's hogwash. Who's going to freaking keep buying cables? It's got to be ridiculous. But sure enough, it was the cables.
Well, I mean, you go search for HDMI cable on Google, you're going to get like a million choices.
Right.
You know, so even through Amazon, you're going to get 100 choices or so of cables. And I've fallen into this many times. I'm going through like, well, that's too cheap. It's got to be junk or something like that, you know. And sometimes the cheap ones are great. Sometimes the cheap ones are cheap. Sometimes where you spend a couple bucks more, they don't freaking work or something like that. It's kind of a crapshoot on some of the stuff that you buy because there's no like standard specification or something like that to be able to say okay. And they say, well, there's things you can scan or like that, but those can be faked or whatever. You know, some of these companies, it's
a gamble. In the research that I did, they say, yeah, you want to make sure you're buying the cables that have that sort of QR code on the cable itself or in the packaging, because supposedly it's supposed to take you to some HDMI credited site that tells you, you know, And, you know, this U-Green does have that, so that worked out well.
Yeah, and if that, you know, I'm not going to spend 50, 70 bucks on monster cables either.
No,
you know,
no.
I mean, I that seems ridiculous, you know, or gold-plated bullshit and all that stuff, or that was a big thing and everything. And
well, funny enough, the J-Sox is gold-plated. Okay. And the U-Green is not. But I think I spent around, I don't know, $15 or $18 for the cable. But yes, yeah. Monster was $49.
Yeah, $8-$10, you know, for a cable. That's
Well, let's see, it is March 20th. We are recording this on a Wednesday. And the Steam sale is over tomorrow, Matt. Do you have any desires, any wants? Is your Steam cart overflowing and you're taking things in and out? Are you adding and subtracting? Where are you at with the Steam sale?
I'm all over the place with it, Mike. All over. I did buy Red Dead Redemption again for probably about the 10th time. Red Dead Redemption 2. I got it for PC this time.
Uh-huh.
I bought the expansion pack, the Warlords of New York, whatever, for Division 2. I picked that up. Got my eye on a few other things. You know, Ghost Recon Breakpoint. There's some other, like, indie games that, you know, have appealed to me that I'm thinking about getting. So, I might pick them up for just to get them now, cheap or something like that.
Yeah.
Take advantage of the sale.
I have a conundrum, Matt. And I might have mentioned this on past podcasts that I've been on. But I am, well, I guess what you could say is maybe a connoisseur of video games, or maybe the better term is an aficionado. Mm-hmm. I will buy a game that I know, this is going to sound weird, either A, I will not enjoy, or B, I will not be good at. And usually those things go hand in hand, right?
Yes, me too.
But I think they're a work of art. I think, like,
sure,
visually they are stunning. There's something that's just really appealing to them, and I want to have that in my library. Has that ever happened to you? Where, like, wow, that is, I know I'm not going to be able to play game X. Like, I'm not going to be able to, like, for instance, Bloodborne, right? You couldn't get, me and you probably can't get past that first area, but that is a damn gorgeous looking game.
Oh, absolutely.
And I put a lot of those Souls-like games in there, in that category. I'm thinking of, there's a new Metroidvania game that just came out on PC and PS5 called Altros, which has its really own unique art style. And I've played the trial on PS5 because it comes with PS Plus. And, you know, it's just the beginning of the game, so of course I can get by it. But I know sure shit. Like games like, you know, like Dead Cells and other Metroidvanias, mm-hmm. roguelikes, I'm going to get to a point where I don't have the skills to get beyond that. But I still want to dabble in it and play it because I just think it's like handcrafted art that just looks so awesome to me.
Yeah, in a way, with the Paper Mario, when it came out years ago for the Wii. Wii or Wii U, can't remember which one Paper Mario came out with.
Yeah.
Stunning game. Beautiful game. How they put that together, I couldn't play it worth a shit. It was a beautiful game. You know, it was great. And same thing with these new Zelda games. These new Zelda games look like they'd frustrate the hell out of me with all the puzzles and all that stuff. But goddamn, they look beautiful. They're gorgeous looking games.
Yeah, they are. So, yeah, I got a couple things on my mind for the Steam sale. I'm not sure if I'm going to dabble in games that I know I'll suck at, but that I consider works of art. But, yeah, like yourself, Breakpoint, Saints Row on there, the new one, which has got co-op, and that's like under $10. Mileage may vary on that, you know. So we'll see. Less than a little over a day, I guess. I think the sale ends tomorrow at...
I think it's tomorrow. Tomorrow, like, sometime, yeah.
Like 1 p.m. Eastern, somewhere around there.
Yeah.
So I'll
probably spend my lunch looking at stuff.
Yeah. I think that, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but in the last 2 weeks, we've predominantly... I've been playing, you know, either Helldivers 2 or the Division 2, mostly the Division 2, because I just needed a little bit of break from Helldivers. So the question I have for you, Matt, ship pops off tomorrow, right? Like the Division 2? Mm-hmm. Where's your allegiance, sir? Where are you going? You're going to be a hyena? You're going to be an outcast? Black Tusk, True Sons, or the Division? I guess you could be a Division guy.
I would hope that Division would be me. Yeah. You know, the good guys, the people trying to clean things up. Black Tusk, I probably would not be able to make the cut. Yeah. They probably have some type of serious initiation.
Height requirement? Or something.
Yeah, well, that too. and possibly weight and strength and that type of thing. Physical ability test.
And blue eyes and blonde hair?
Possibly. Yeah. Possibly. Yeah. Division would be good. The hyenas seem the most chaotic, you know, chaos. So I could probably, you know, like slide in there and kind of just.
Hey, you just show
lay low type of thing.
And you show them your moves when you're out at backbeat with your cowboy boots on, and they might just give you a gold pass to go with the hyenas.
Yeah, this son of a bitch is crazy enough. Fuck yeah, let's bring him in. Yeah, I can see that. Sure. I don't know. You know, I would be honest with you. I'd probably go with the ones that would just, you know, I could reason with and talk myself into and just kind of lay low and not cause any issues. What about you?
Yeah, you know, my first instinct is just to go rogue and go under the radar and not be a, you know, lone wolf, you know, just try to carve out my own spot. But I guess if I had to pick, I'd rule the hyenas out because what is this whole green paint thing and huffing that and like that makes them go wild? I'm not really into huffing the paint.
Well, yeah, that's true. Yeah, they got that modified version of the poison or whatever that they're kind of huffing in and getting high off of.
Yeah. True Sons and the Black Tusk to me seems too militant. It seems too Aryan Nation. It's bordering on, you know, militia stereotypes that I don't want to have any sort of allegiance to. The Outcast, I think, is like kind of like a no brainer. It's sort of, you know, but I'm not sure how good I look in yellow, Matt. Do you have a lot of yellow in your wardrobe?
No, because that reminds me of Pittsburgh and Steelers and Pirates. No. I have a lot of reds and blues and greens.
So is yellow a slimming color? Because I'm all about trying to wear things that are slimming.
I don't know about that. I think black is a slimming color. You know, a lot of women wear black pants, black tights to make themselves kind of look thinner and make their rear ends not look so large. Mm-hmm. So,
what's wrong with large rear ends? I don't see any problem with this.
Some women find an issue with that. I don't see an issue with it. But some women do. Uh-huh. You know, I don't know. I don't have many yellow clothes. I don't.
Yeah, neither do I. I mean, the last thing I can think of that I wore that was yellow was probably like those raincoats when we were like little kids, right?
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
But, I would have to say, you know, even the Division feels a little too, you know, I like orange though. So I am, if I could not cut it to be a Division person, I'd probably say the Outcast. I just run behind the guy with the large hammer that's trying to swing and kill everybody. And
there you go. And
getting clean up and get the scraps, you know.
There you go. That seems reasonable. Yeah. Just be a tag along type of dude, you know. I mean, to be honest with you, the first thing that hits a fan if I'm out there, I would fucking run the other way.
Yeah.
I'd run away screaming.
What, even though the Robin Hood looking motherfuckers who I don't, to this day, I don't even know if they have a name for their little clan, their little foot clan. They have the best, like, you know, colors, you know, all black and stuff like that, but them and their bow and arrows and trash can covers.
Why are they there? How did they survive?
Someone will have to correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure that game launched with all those factions, with the exception of this other one, and then they added them on later to give more tension or more NPCs in the world. Like, there was some clamoring to add like a new, but they never gave them their own story, as far as I knew. They don't have like their own like control point. They're just there to cause chaos. They fight everybody.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we're getting to the point now in the game where, yeah, clans are fighting clans, and we're just kind of walking by.
It's hilarious to me. Sometimes I'll go to, like, a control point in the game, and I'm on, like, you know, some sort of, like, stanchion, and, like, targeting guys down below. And all of a sudden, I'll take an arrow to the neck.
Yeah.
And right. I'll be shooting, and this arrow will just be sticking
out of your neck there, yeah.
And I'm like, son of a bitch, I'm trying to kill the True Sons, and these Robin Hood clowns are off, like, you know, shooting behind, like, a bush.
Right, exactly. Thinking that they're going to do something. But no, they're just causing it. Yeah.
One of these. It's good, like we said last episode, it's good to be back in the Division 2. It's gaming comfort food for us. Mm-hmm. We have been eating it very voraciously, though. And I have to tell Matt, slow down, because you know what's going to happen soon enough? It's going to get too hard, and we're going to bail.
And we're going to be done.
Yeah, then be like, then what do we fucking do?
Yeah.
But yeah, we're having a good time with that. Other things we want to discuss here, Matt. It is, like I said, the middle of March. March Madness starts tomorrow, Thursday.
Absolutely, yes. And I know, Mike, you're not a college fan. You're not a college football fan. You're not a college basketball fan. You have issues understanding why people would root for places they did not go to school. And you've even said this with professional teams where they don't live, why they would root for those teams. And
let me dive into that just if I may. The college thing, I 100% accurate. Why would you root for college A if you never went there? Now, the only exception I would make is if you are from a place that doesn't have a professional sports team. So if you are from Podunk, and they didn't have a professional sports team, and that college was the biggest thing going, then that's your professional sports team in a kind of way, and so I kind of get that. But if you live, and I'm not trying to call anybody out here, but if you live in a major city and you root for some college in the other, you know, side of the country just because, you know, your daddy liked them when you were little and they had nice colors, you know, that's one thing that seems weird to me. And the other thing is, why would you ever root for a college institution that you never went to, that you, A, you couldn't afford, B, that rejected you? Maybe you wanted to go there, but they rejected you. Like, that just seems so foreign to me. I'm sort of warming to the idea of, like, living, like, just say in Boston, but your favorite sports team is, like, the Minnesota Vikings. I happen to have a child who his favorite team is the Minnesota Vikings. So I'm warming up to the idea of this. Again, but why the Vikings? Because he liked purple and he was a little kid and saw a purple team. And so so that's carried on.
Okay.
But yeah, college sports to me, by and large, do not hold my interest because I come from a pro sports town. We have some of the best college institutions in the world in Boston, and I don't give a shit about them. I couldn't afford to go there. They wouldn't accept me to go there. I couldn't give a shit if Boston College, Harvard, etc., did anything. It doesn't hold my interest. I think by and large, because when I watch these games too, Matt, the quality of play is nowhere near as it is professional sports. Like, you watch it for a few minutes and then you go, yeah. So really what I'm watching here is just two teams competing. I'm watching for competition, not so much a professional competition.
I'm not sure if I agree with you there. You know, on the football side and the basketball side, there is a lot of competition that happens in college basketball and college football. You know, it depends on the teams too.
Yeah, my point is, you could take the best college football team and have them play against the worst NFL team, and they get clobbered.
Possible.
Right. I think you put Michigan against the New England Patriots, and I think the Patriots would have smoked them.
Are you talking the Michigan like this year? The Michigan that just won the national championship?
Yeah.
I don't agree with that.
No?
I think there would be I don't think they'd win, but it's not going to be like some 64-0 blowout like the Harlem Globetrobbers and you know, the Lakers or something.
The Harlem, like the Harlem who?
Globetrobbers. I'm not going to say it again.
You know, I found out the other day that there is the Harlem Globetrotters and then there's the Harlem Wizards. Did you ever hear of the Wizards?
Never heard of the Wizards. What's the team that the Globetrotters used to always play?
The Washington something.
The Washington
Generals. Yeah. Washington Generals.
Generals. Yeah. Generals. Yeah.
But my the faculty at one of my kids' schools is playing against the Harlem Wizards, and I did a little research on the Harlem Wizards, and this guy who created the Harlem Wizards thought he could create a better product than the Harlem Globetrotters in the '60s. So they've been this team since like the '60s.
Oh no shit.
Yeah.
I never heard of them. But so yeah, I'm all for, you know, the next couple of days. You got college basketball all throughout. Now, UC, I went to UC, so I'm a huge Bearcats fan, okay? And Cincinnati, it's Bearcats or Xavier. The big thing in Ohio, obviously, is Ohio State football. Okay, that's what everyone talks about. I'll watch them if they're on or something like that, but I'm not purposely making plans around the Buckeyes schedules for stuff like that, but I'll watch him if nothing else is going on. But unfortunately, my Bearcats are not in the big NCAA tournament. Neither is Xavier. They're both in the NIT tournament. But I'll still watch a bunch of college games this weekend because they'll be on, you know, University of Dayton, which is right up the road. They've got their team in, so I'll be rooting for them. But I mean, really, I've got no dogs in this fight, so I'm not going to care too much, but I will watch and see what's happening with the tournament.
I do like the first couple of days of the tournament just because the big universities can get knocked out and the little, you know, the Cinderella teams. I do like that aspect of it. You know, anytime the fucking Dukes of the world or whoever can take it on the chin and get bounced, I'm all for it.
Yeah.
I think there's some, to me, I think there's better competition in the basketball tournament than what I see in the football. Because I think the football thing, correct me if I'm wrong, a lot of guys by that point have opted out because they're going to the NFL, right? So, I mean, not so much in the championship game, like the four teams. But like those bowl games are just so meaningless because if their team is not in it to win the national championship, like Caleb Williams, he didn't play in the bowl game and he's going to be the number one pick. You know, so a lot of those guys, when it comes to those bowl games, opt out if they're going to be a high, you know, first couple round draft picks. They don't want a chance of getting hurt.
Yeah, I think it all depends on the bowl game. You know, your higher bowl games, Orange Bowl, Rose Bowl, stuff like that, I think you're going to have the players play because they want to get noticed, they want to get seen. But if you have the on second thought with Matt and Mike Bowl, you know, no one's going to play that. They're going to be like, fuck this bowl, no one's going to be watching this. So
that's the toilet bowl. I can see that.
The toilet bowl, that's right, the tidy bowl.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, you know, the other thing A lot of these players will never play again beyond this NCAA championship, you know, the March Madness. Can we say March Madness? Are they going to come after us now? Are we going to have to erase that? Am I into some? I'm not advertising, so maybe I can say it and not have them come after me. We'll soon find out. If there is no episode 4, that means the lawyers got us and we got in trouble.
I tell you what, man, I'll take it. That means that someone big is listening to us.
Or someone someone dropped a dime, one or the other.
That too.
So let's hear it. Do you have a pick? Do you have a bracket, and B, who's your winner?
I didn't do a bracket this year. I didn't do one. Normally I do a bracket. I didn't this year because just a lot of stuff going on and I didn't want to fill one out. But as of now, I'm going, you know, Dayton, obviously, have them go up all the way. But I think Houston, I think, would be my second pick to go. They had a hell of a year, great year. I think they'd be good.
Who knew Matt Helmer all the way in fucking Ohio is up on Houston basketball? These are the things that people tune into on Second Thought for. I mean, these are the nuggets that we don't know that Matt Helmer is up. And now are they? It's not Houston via Ohio. It's a Houston, Texas team.
Yeah, yeah. They were in the top 25 throughout the year. They were number one for a while and stuff. And they played a hell of a year. They did great. UC played them. UC almost beat them. Played a hell of a game against them. They're probably the favorite to go all the way, I'd imagine. You got UConn up there, number one seed.
I don't know how you feel about this team. I know when I say Kentucky, you can visibly see Matt get a little frustrated on his, the skin tone changes. But if I mention the word Indiana to you, do you have the same hatred to Indiana like you do Kentucky? No. And I'm not saying Indiana University. I'm just saying Purdue. The word Purdue, do you think chicken or do you
first thing comes to mind is chicken. As an Ohio State fan, you're supposed to hate Purdue. Okay. Yeah. But Purdue's fine. Hoosiers, fine. I like Louisville Cardinals. Okay. I'm cool with them. No. UK, Kentucky Wildcats. They're arrogant assholes.
To hate. It's got to be tough to hate the Hoosiers or Purdue for teams you always beat. Don't just Ohio State always just beat them? So how could you hate them?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Pretty much. I guess we're supposed to. I don't know. Because, Ohio.
Purdue is ranked number one in whatever bracket they're in, but I heard they're my moles out there, my NCAA basketball moles out there tell me that they're floundering and they might be a candidate to get knocked out pretty early, so we'll see.
I think what you said earlier, this is the first couple games, this weekend is probably about the best weekend of college basketball ever, because you see all these scrappy teams out there fighting because they got nothing to lose.
Well, it's similar to wild card weekend in the NFL.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Got nothing to lose.
So let it all hang out. So when I go to the bedroom, just let it all hang out.
Yeah, and I'm sure that's received very well.
Yeah. Sure. All right. Well, I do the other thing I like about before we move on. The other thing I like about the NCAA tournament is you can watch your team play on Thursday, and if they win, you see them again on Saturday. Mm-hmm. I like that aspect of it. It's not you got to wait another week or two. It's pretty much you can see your team play twice in one 4-day span.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's cool. I mean, it's always been pretty fun. I can't remember since when, but Thursday and Friday games start at noon.
Yeah.
So you got people leaving work at noon or at work, there's TV set up. Games on, stuff like that. We just redid our work area stuff at work, and I'm sure all the TVs will be on the tournaments and stuff like that, and people will be in the lunchroom working while watching games and stuff. So it's going to be it's a nice, festive, fun atmosphere, if you ask me.
Yeah. I got a topic I want us to discuss here, but before that, let's talk about, I had to go into work today. I don't generally do that. We have we don't have a dedicated, our own building like you do for your work. We have what they call these, I don't know if you want to call them communal spaces, but basically what we did is we rent out an office space, we rent out a large conference room inside this, building that houses many companies. There's many companies in there just renting out either a space for one person. One person doesn't want to work at home. They just want to have a place that they can go to and do work. And then there's other larger conferences, companies that have, maybe multiple spaces. So it's, communal is the right word. But anyways, I had to go in. We had one of these other places that was a lot closer to my home. Today it was an hour and 15 minutes each way, which is not great for me.
That's a hell of a cruise.
Yeah, I have to go in right now. It's like every Wednesday. I'm going to see if I can go every other Wednesday because that's just too much. But I got to tell you, I don't do well these days being trapped in an office. You know, all this time that I am at home, I feel like I do much better work at home. There's people like just always chattering, always interrupting you, breaking your train of thought. And the other thing is, I don't have to be worried about just letting one rip. And boy, every day, fucking the whole time today, I had to catch myself because I've been working from home since 2015.
Hey,
and I had to remind myself, shit, I'm not at home. And then you know what happens is, you let all that fucking shit build up. You don't let it rip. Yeah. And I had a terrible stomach ache later in the day. I'm sure people listening really wanted to know about that, but I just. There's got to be other people out there that are conscious. Now, like, where are you at with this at work? You've been going there for 20 plus years. I mean, you're as old as the friggin' paint on the wall. Do you not care? Do you just friggin' let them rip? And like, I'm a fucking institution at this place. I will fart as I may. Or do you have office etiquette?
I have. Office etiquette, okay, whereas, so I got with a stand-up sit-down desk, okay, where I can go out, you know, my desk raises, lowers, all right, yeah. So I can stand and sit in that. And, you know, normally I can feel a big one coming out, like, oh, this is going to rip, man, you know. So I'll, like, go to my chair and, like, sit in my chair and spin around, you know, like, be at my desk, kind of, do, you know, act like I'm looking at papers and just kind of, you know, lift up one side and, you know, whatever.
Yeah, but that's just muffling the noise.
Yeah, it muffles it.
That does and nothing for the smell, though.
See, so there's sometimes everyone, they're like, and you go, oh, cool, okay. You know, and you're just kind of
you hear everybody go, that. You hear the Lysol cans come out. Elmer.
Yeah.
Why do all the Lysol cans at Matt's have been they've all been rebranded Helmer.
Yeah. And there's times where you walk in someone's office and it's like, fuck, did you just rip one big or something? Cause this is just
I'll be back in I forgot it in my notebook. I'll be back.
Yeah. Now there's been a couple of times there where I've been just sitting there relaxed, work, and all of a sudden I will just fucking belch. Like I just like at lunchtime, sometimes when I get a lunch or something like that, I'll grab a Coke Zero instead of drinking water. I'll grab a Coke Zero and that. So I'll go do me. And then back at my desk, it was like, oh, you know. And all of a sudden, man, it was just like that. And it's like, oh shit, that just came out. That just happened, you know. And oh, what, you know, people are like, what the fuck was that?
Next time you do that, you should just like mutter under your breath, fucking Bud Light. Next time I'm getting, next time I'm having a Heineken.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
all right. There you go. I'm never going to that bar again. They don't clean their lines.
That's exactly. That's what I should do. Yeah. Yeah.
Damn draft beer.
You know what bugs me at work is going to the bathroom. Okay. There's just. I don't.
Well, who raised these people?
Huh?
Who raised these people is what I want to know. I feel like I could do a whole podcast on bathroom issues, like
people. Bathroom etiquette.
Like what? I know you've seen this at. I didn't mean to cut you off, but I know you've seen this at your bar. Who is the asshole throwing the whole roll of toilet paper in the toilet? What is that?
What? Why? Why are you doing it? Why are you doing that? Who are you? Because the bartender gave you a bad beer or you didn't get good service, you're going to fucking go in and you're going to throw a whole roll of toilet paper or just clog up the toilet or piss all over the place to show that bartender. Because you know what? The poor sap that's got to clean that up has nothing to do with your service and what happened at the bar.
And it's never... I can be a dissatisfied customer with the best of them, but it has never crossed my mind that if I got bad service, I'm going to go do an upper deck in the bathroom.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Maybe I need to open my mind to these things. But that is never. Is that what you think it is?
I think someone's just pissed off and wants to be an idiot, and they clog up the toilet, or they piss all over the place, or they do an upper deck or whatever. And
I'm not coordinated to be able to pull off an upper deck.
I'd end up pooping on myself or something.
And they don't have those anymore anyways. They don't have those old school,
Not many places do.
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what were you going to say about your bathroom at work?
There's a couple people notorious. They go to the bathroom and they're on the phone talking.
Oh, I would. If that was the case, I would be letting out the loudest farts. Even if they were fake, I would be doing stuff like, just saying, yeah, Beatrice, one more time, Beatrice, let's go. No teeth, Beatrice, no teeth.
I constantly no teeth.
How many times have I told you no teeth?
No bite, no bite. I constantly flush the toilet. I just
whatever you do, don't make sure you tap your foot.
Oh God, no. Yeah. Oh my God, you're talking about some old time stuff there that happened. Tapping to the foot. Oh man, yeah. Just etiquette in general is lacking in.
Hopefully they're not on a sales call or client call. They're just calling home to their wife or something.
It'd be like you. Talking to Lynn in the bathroom, what's for dinner tonight? Oh, blah, 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 you know.
I got to tell you.
Fucking serious? Really?
This is a slight exaggeration, but I mean the slightest. When my feet hit the ground, from the minute I'm hitting the ground, I'm angling how I'm getting laid that night. Right? And it is... I can assure you that calling Lynn while I'm dropping a deuce, it's not going to get me laid.
I agree 100%. And it's the other way around, too. I don't want to hear that.
Yeah.
That's the last thing I do is talk to people while I'm in the bathroom.
Yep.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
All right, well, we got to move on. People probably tuned us up between the college basketball and the bathroom stuff. we talked last time about you getting a PC and myself getting a PC, and we've been doing more PC gaming of late. So I know this might sway your answer, but the question I want to ask you, are you at this point in – the life cycle, because you only have an Xbox Series X, so I won't ask you about the PS5 because you don't have one. But at this point of the Xbox Series X, is there anything that you're dissatisfied that machine does that you feel warrants a mid-console refresh like a Xbox Series X Pro?
I would like to not have to choose when I play a game performance over 4K. I want them both. A lot of these games, they choose, you want to do performance or quality or resolution or something like that.
Yeah.
So you can have 60 frames a second and play at, 2160, 2K, whatever they call it. Or you could do 30 frames per second and have 4K quality and all the HDR and all that stuff. I want everything. I want them both. Combined in one nice little package.
Now, if you remember in 2016, when these sort of Xbox One X and the PS4 Pro, 4K HDR gaming was the big thing at that point, right?
Mm-hmm.
The PS4 couldn't really do that. The Xbox One couldn't do that. So they just... They came out with these mid... There was a reason to upgrade at that particular time. Right. Mm-hmm. There was also some other things, you know, games would load slowly. The PS4 sounded like a jet engine. You know, there were things that legitimately felt like, yeah, we need to upgrade. But I am struggling with the PS5 and the Xbox Series X. I'm like, why do I need to get the Pro? Like, by all accounts, there's going to be probably some new iteration of the Xbox Series X this holiday, and the PS5 Pro has leaked. So they've released documentation on their dev kit portal, which got leaked just like the PS4 Pro. It's called Project Trinity, which is the PlayStation 5 Pro. I was reading from Digital Foundry, so a lot of this comes from them. They say the Pro is going to give you higher rendering resolutions, higher effective rendering resolutions via custom machine learning silicon, and a new PlayStation spectral super resolution, which is called PSSR technique. There's also going to be ray tracing capabilities augmented by 2 to 4 times depending on the workload. What they are saying is that the Xbox Series X that you have, the PlayStation 5 that I have, is that the Pro, regardless if it's an Xbox or PlayStation, should deliver vastly improved results via GPU power and PSSR upscaling. But the CPU is not changing that much. So you could still run into these sort of like bottlenecks.
Mm-hmm.
So I really think this time around there isn't as big of a need to get the PS5 Pro or the Xbox Series X Pro. It's going to appeal to people like me who just always want to feel like they got the latest and greatest, right?
Yeah.
It's more of a, I think this time around it's going to be more of, I think what they said in Digital Foundry's article, is a niche product. It's going to be the more powerful machine. They think it's going to be at a minimum price point of $599 without the optical detachable drive that they have now on the PlayStation. People can expect higher frame rates, but the CPU is not vastly different than what's already in there. I think they call these Zen 2 CPUs that are from AMD. And they've got you a little bit more horsepower, but not something that's dramatically going to shift things. But there's all sorts of tricks that they can do to offload memory here, give you a little bit of boost there. But, you know, we were talking to Bricko about this a little bit. You know, I don't think for guys like me and you, you know, first of all, our age, our quality of our eyes at this, you know, slightly under 50, a little over 50 or at 50. Like, are we going to be able to tell? I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to be able to tell. Like, before going from the Xbox One to the Xbox One X or the PS4 to the PS4 Pro, I felt that there was a discernible enough difference to warrant a purchase. This time around, I'm having my doubts. And when I asked Bricko, I said, you know, hey, I got my eye on this Asus monitor that's coming out. It's 4K OLED, and it's going to be 240 hertz. Now, there's a lot of monitors out there that can do 240 hertz, but this is the first monitors that are coming out that can do 4K OLED at 240. Otherwise, it's been like 1440p or 1080p. Mm-hmm. My monitor, which is a television, does 4K, you know, it's an OLED 4K and does 120 hertz. I don't know if I'll be able to tell the difference between 120 to 240. That's twice as much. So you think you should be able to. But sometimes what happens when you get that much, at least I think what can happen, is when you get a machine that can do that much processing, the game can't keep up with how fast it moves. So sometimes you get this like weird jank or stuttering because like, it's like putting like what, a Ferrari engine on a Toyota body. Is that
it doesn't know what to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. That makes 100% sense to me. I think the biggest things that I would notice that I would want in next gen or whatever, or this sidestep where you're talking about, you know, always faster loading speeds, loading times, you know, stuff like that. I agree with you. I don't know if I can tell the difference anymore in graphic quality of stuff. I'm sure if something came out lifelike, then yes, I'm going to notice that. I'm going to see that. I think that, and then storage. I think storage is a big thing.
It's not going up. It's still 1 terabyte.
Yeah, I think that's a mistake. I think at least you got to be doing 2 terabytes.
Yeah.
With these games,
PlayStation will say, "Well, we give you the option to put any type of storage you want, like an M.2 drive in there, and that price has come down, and it's very easy to do." I mean, I think it gets a little bit more. When it's the Xbox, has got that, not so much proprietary, but they only got two or three companies that do those drives that go in the back of the machine. Mm-hmm. And that's the stuff has still stayed very pricey. It's expensive. But yeah, I agree with you totally. That was one of the first things I looked for when I looked at the specs. I was like, all right, what's the memory on these things? And I was disappointed to still see 1 terabyte. Because we know when it's 1 terabyte, like what, 18 to 20% of that gets sucked up with the system resources.
Oh, yeah, right.
Oh, so you only really get like what, 750 to 800 gigabytes?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you know as well as I do, these games nowadays are huge. And it's not just, and then but the updates.
Yeah.
Are huge, getting big also.
And then the thing that I'm not sure how they do this, but sometimes the update is big, but it reduces the overall file size. But it's like the chicken or egg thing. It's like, all right, I don't have enough memory to take this new update, but yet the update when it's done is going to reduce the overall file size of the game itself. But it's like, I don't have enough memory right now to take it. You know what I mean? It's it's wild. But as I use the PS5 and the Series X, I don't visually go, wow, that's a bad looking game. Like, yeah, there's some games that don't look great, and that's more on the developer. Yeah. Not the machine itself. Right. I think if I had a more discerning eye and I had a better knowledge, like the Digital Foundry guys, I could tell you reasons why the consoles these days, and this is kind of their words, are so far behind a mid-tier PC. You know, that a mid-tier PC can outlap a Series X and a PS5 by a great distance. So they feel that these, you know, these are tech guys that do this for a living, benchmarking and all this stuff, that they feel that there's a justification of having a mid console refresh, because you're getting, I'm not saying parity with the mid tier PC, but you're getting closer to it. You're not getting farther away. Right. You're moving the needle closer to it. But you know, for a while there, you could just stamp it on the page, Mike's going to get it, you know. And this time, I don't know if it's because I got the PC now that, you know, I don't feel as much of a need. But man, I look at some of these PS5 games and they load instantly. The Xbox loads instantly. They look nice. They play nice. I got 120, you know, hertz on my monitor here, and that's the most a console can do anyways. I could hook up the PS5 and the Xbox Series X to this other monitor that I'm chasing down right now. Mm-hmm. It's still only going to get 120 hertz.
Right.
That's all those machines got. And I think the PS5 Pro and Series X are going to be the same. I don't think they're going to go above that.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing that we'll be seeing in games and with the Xbox, and you know, your ray tracing, your stuff like that, just kind of
definitely the ray tracing, definitely the machine learning. You know, I don't know, we might have an episode here where we talk about AI and what do we think our thoughts are on things like that, but. Yeah, I think exactly. Those types of techniques is where you're not going to be able to put your hands on it and go, yeah, this looks like a 490. This looks like a 490 stuffed in an Xbox Series X Pro. But there's going to be tricks and gray area features that supposedly make things better.
Yeah, you know, you take a game like Helldivers. We're on some of those dusty, foggy planets and how that dust just kind of flows and moves around you, you know. you can take a, you put that on a lesser computer, something like that, and it's going to be more blotchy, more, it's not going to be as smooth, it's not going to be as clean looking. I think that's the type of stuff that you'll see improvements on, that the atmosphere background, I guess, if the, I don't know if that makes sense or not, but that type of things.
Yeah, I guess.
And speed.
I was reading an article the other day that the, one of the things that NVIDIA does is put probes in the, this is going to sound like you can see this. It's obviously not something you can see, but there's something in their code that they put probes into the game, and it can like learn the lighting and enhance based on the probe that gets deployed.
Oh, wow.
Which I think, you know, speaks to what you were kind of just talking about there. You know, I think it'd be interesting to see what the price point is on this. You know, they speculate $599, which I think is, you know, it's fair enough, you know. I think if they go anything above that and there'll be backlash, you know. If it's $649, okay, maybe they can get away with that. But I think some people are saying that no one's going to buy an $800. I'd be shocked if these things came out at $800. How many times have we gone through these console launches or mid-cycle refreshes and people speculate, oh, for what they're putting in there, they at least got to charge $750, $800. I'm like, it never comes to that.
Yeah, I think we're looking at the $400 or $500 range. You know, maybe $599.
Yeah, the $599 without a disk drive.
Yeah, I think really you're looking between $500 and $600, $499.
Yeah,
you know, $549, something like that. I don't know, but otherwise you're going to spend that money. Well, okay, then people couple $400 and get a PC that does a lot more, something like that.
Yeah.
That I don't know.
I know you got the PC, so you're probably, your appetite is not wet for this, but you are a guy so far that has skipped out on the PS5. I know there's one in your home, but you don't have direct access to it. Does this do anything for you? Was this, it's like, hey, this might be a jumping on point for me to get a PS5?
It's an opportunity, sure. Yeah, I think it's an opportunity to look at PS5. Or the PS5.5, whatever they want to call it. Noah sent me something the other day where the PS5 was $449 or something like that. I was like, damn, that's not bad. It came with Spider-Man or something like that.
Yeah.
I think next go around, I would probably look at PS5 because I got the computer. I've got the Xbox Series X, so that's good. PS5 for some of those games, you know.
Yeah.
Goats of Salami. I still want to play that.
That's coming to PC soon.
It is. It is. Mm-hmm. Well, hopefully it's a good port because I might get it.
Horizon. I always forget which one is the most recent one. Horizon Forbidden West, I think, is the most recent one. That's coming to PC, and I think that's getting favorable reviews or previews for the port. That's a whole other thing. It's like, how many of these games, now that I got this, you know, this PC humming, like, how many games am I going to rebuy that I already own? Like, again, can I tell the difference, Matt, between playing it on my PC versus the PS5 or the Xbox Series X? I don't know.
Well, that's what I want to try with, you know, I bought Red Dead Redemption 2, and I haven't fired it up yet. I want to fire that up on here and see if I can see a difference. Set everything to Ultra. And see what happens. Now I do notice in Division 2, Mike, playing on the PC, it just seems to run, I'm not trying to say it runs smoother, but the artifacts and everything, the background of that seem to be crisper, clearer, if that makes any sense to you.
Yeah.
It just seems the HDR seems to look a little bit more in depth than it does on the Series X.
Yep. Yeah, without a doubt.
The shading and stuff.
That game still takes an incredible long time. No matter what PC I play that game on, it's got that whole easy anti-cheat. You know, that's a kernel level thing. It takes a while to go from Steam, and then it's got to launch Ubisoft Connect, and then Ubisoft Connect to Easy Anti-Cheat, which is actually owned by Epic. I'm not sure if you're aware. Epic bought that company about a year or so ago. So it's got to run through all these things. And I, you know, on my new machine, I have 32 gigabytes of RAM, and it takes anywhere from, I don't know, 2 to 5 minutes for that game to load.
I don't think it takes 2 to 5 minutes for me, but it's definitely a minute for that splash screen to go through. And
I'm gonna have to time it.
I'm gonna do the same thing now. Yep.
Yeah, next time I play, I'm gonna time it, and we'll report back. It is a little odd, and we had this conversation yesterday about why do you know you buy the game on Steam, but they got all these launches, like you're trying to remember your Rockstar Social Club password so you can play Red Dead. And I think we came to the realization it's because, all right, you can buy the game directly through them, through Rockstar or through Ubisoft Connect. So, yeah, you can buy it at Steam if you want, but you still got to interface with our launcher.
But I mean, you don't have to do that with the PS5 or the Xbox. You launch the game and it launches. You don't have to sign in to Rockstar. You don't have to do all this bullshit, download another thing. It just...
EA is the worst. Like, you try to play Titanfall.
EA is bad, yeah. Hmm. Yep.
Well, we're right at a little over the hour mark, Matt, so we should wrap things up. Try to stay true to our brevity.
Yes, sir.
Anything else that you needed to discuss? Any topics, anything we didn't get to?
Nah, first day of spring, it's in the 40s, so, you know, hey, there we are.
First day of spring, and it snowed here, and it's supposed to snow, like, you know, just not, like, not accumulation, I don't think, but it's supposed to be, like, you know, off and on snow squalls, and, you know,
yeah,
we might, at most, we might get an inch or two.
I got to start cutting my grass. That's all I know. It's starting to look bad.
My grass is nowhere. I will sink putting it's the so zero great. Turn on. It's mine is not.
It is so great. I'm getting my lawn treated now. I got it treated last year, and I'm getting treated this year, and it is so green and so thick right now. It's like, holy shit, I need, this is, what did I do to myself?
Yeah, and that's the thing. If you don't cut it soon enough, what do you do with all that extra clippings?
So I'll cut it high and bag it, and then I will lower my mower to my normal height and then cut it again.
And what do you do with the bagged grass?
I dump it back in the corner.
Doesn't stink to high heavens?
No.
No?
Nah. Nah. I dump it back in the corner. It'll sit there.
Yeah, I got a spot. I mean, since I have so much property, I have a place that I bag my grass all the time, no matter what. Because we get so much sunlight that it'll just be like dead grass on the lawn, you know.
You don't, like I would go back there, I get myself like a little compost pile thing going, throw some leaves and grass back there, and I'll go back there once in a while and mix it up with my rake, and I'll take it and I'll spread it around my bushes and shit.
I mean, I'm sure there's dirt under there somewhere, but I've been adding. I got this like long, I don't know, it's got to be 10 to 12 feet. I just kind of put it like, so there's this like this, and I'm sure somewhere deep underneath there's dirt, but there's years and years of leaves and lawn clippings there.
You get a pitchfork, go out there and start turning that stuff around there, Farmer Mike.
Yeah.
Make yourself some homemade mulch.
Get right on that. All right, this has been episode 3 of On Second Thought with Mike and Matt. It's still not rolling off the tongue yet, but I will get there. Like we mentioned last week, please share the show with your friends. We're on YouTube as well. We don't have a handy URL yet on YouTube because we don't have enough subscribers. So hint, hint, if you're listening to the episodes on YouTube, throw us a subscribe if you can. Generally, we'll try to get the shows out every other Sunday by 5 p.m. Eastern. So that's when you should expect episode 3. You can follow us on Twitter at what? What is it, Matt? OSTWMM?
Yes, sir. That's it.
Okay. Anything else that we should tell the people to do? They can reply to us on Twitter and throw show topics or things, rebuttals.
Absolutely.
Or opinions at us.
Yeah, Mike and I are both retweeting, you know, stuff from the channel there. Give us a subscribe. Give us a try. You know,
I think we got a robust 11 followers on Twitter.
Shit, man. We are. Hell yeah, Mike. I'm surprised. When's the contract coming?
You know?
When's the... money start coming in.
I told iHeart, I said, you know, I will consider it, but Spotify, I'm waiting to hear from Spotify first. I'll get back to you, iHeart.
Good call. Good call. Yeah. All right, enough, buddy, bring a friend.
Exactly. Tell your enemies, more importantly.
Absolutely.
We're like, our podcast is like what you'd put like at Guantanamo Bay. That's torture the prisoners. Put Mike and Matt on for 90 minutes.
90 minutes.
They will confess.
And over and over again. Yep.
All right. Well, good talk.
At the Geneva Convention.
What's that?
I'm pretty sure that's against the Geneva Convention.
Yes. We've been banned in many places. All right. Episode 3 in the books. Looking forward to episode 4. Somewhat. Maybe. We'll talk to you all again in a few weeks.
Later.